It says this: after Jesus had said these things, he went up to Jerusalem. When he got close to Bethphage and Bethany, at a place called the Mount of Olives, he called two of his disciples and gave them the following orders. Go up into the village up ahead. When you get there, you will find a young donkey. Well done. That has never been ridden. It will be tied up, so you need to untie it and bring it to me. If the owner asks you, simply tell him. The disciples did as Jesus told them. They went into the village. They found the young donkey. And they started to untie it. But as they did so, the owner came up to them and asked, just as Jesus had told them to do, the disciples replied, then the two disciples brought the young donkey to Jesus. They put their cloaks on it, set Jesus on its back, and off he rode. As Jesus rode along, people spread their cloaks on the road in front of him. They reached the path that led down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, and the whole multitude of disciples began to shout praises to Jesus for all the powerful things he had seen him do. When the Pharisees heard this, they were not very happy. Some of them called to Jesus, saying, oh, that's a bit feeble. Come on. I'm sorry, but I know you've had a long time to wait, but I think you would take with a bit more oomph. Come on, come on. Some of them called to Jesus, saying, thank you. Thank you. To which Jesus simply replied, if you managed somehow to quiet this lot, the stones themselves would shout out. Which was actually truer than any of them knew. What Jesus actually meant, of course, was that the stones would shout out his praises too. So, let's all do that together. We've got one line, everybody together, all of us. Blessed is the King who comes blessed is the King who comes in God's name. So, let's all do it together. Blessed is the King who comes in God's name. Amen. See, that was more fun than you were expecting, wasn't it? Okay, I just wonder how you are with surprises. Some people like them, some are not so keen. My sister is well known in my family for jumping when there's a sudden noise. I remember watching the film Double Jeopardy. Have you ever seen that one? It's a courtroom sort of drama. We watched it as teenagers, all four of us and mum and dad together, all sat in the front room. And there was one point in it where there was a sudden gunshot, and my sister jumped so much that her drink that she had in her hand ended up all down the radiator. And I do mean all down the radiator. We laughed, I'm afraid to say. The title for this week in our Walking in the Wilderness material is A Surprising Journey. It's a good title for a week that starts with God's Son riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and finishes with him rising from the dead, with plenty of twists and turns in between. It was a really surprising journey. This surprising journey starts with a surprising plan. So the Israelites had been waiting for a Messiah, a rescuer, a deliverer, promised by God through prophets in the Old Testament, words that the Israelites had clung on to over many, many years. They've got hopes and ideas and a picture in their head of how this is going to play out for them. Namely, there was going to be a mighty warrior who was going to come and free them from their immediate problem, which was the cruel and oppressive Roman rule. God had other ideas. God had a surprising plan, a much bigger plan to solve a much bigger problem. His plan was about salvation from sin and hope for the future for all people, not just those people in Israel in that time. And all this involved God sending his son into the world. God's surprising plan involved a helpless baby, not a military superpower. God's surprising plan involved a homeless wanderer, not a rich politician. It involved preaching grace and love for enemies, not vengeance and punishment to oppressors. And God's surprising plan involved a grand entry on a donkey, not on a chariot of war. It wasn't really what the Israelites were expecting, and probably not what they were looking for. But it was exactly what and who they needed. As we read the Gospels, we can see how Jesus constantly surprised the people around him. He chose to spend time with really surprising people. He asked questions that surprised people. He told stories with twists and turns and surprising endings. He talked about things that people weren't expecting. He went to places and groups of people that took people by surprise. He wasn't what the people at the time were expecting. Possibly even wasn't what they were wanting. God's rescue plan was a surprise. Not to God, but to the people. It was far bigger than they could imagine and would involve far more people and much more rescue and hope than they could ever imagine. It's the same for us often, isn't it? God's plans probably don't look like the things we imagine, but his plans are best. Josh has come in this morning in a sweatshirt. I did one. What's it say, Josh? His plans over mine. Is that right? That's exactly it. His plans over mine. I never intended or expected to be a teacher. In fact, in my 20s, when I filled in one of those career questionnaires, you know, you answer all these questions. Do you like this and that? Are you good at doing this? I filled all one of those things in. The top thing it came out with was being a teacher. And I thought, gosh, I must have answered those questions wrong. I went back to see what I put in that wasn't at all what I was expecting. That was not what I was expecting. But God had other ideas. He had a different, a better plan. David wasn't planning for his long-term relationship to end in his, what were you, early 20s? Wasn't planning for that to end. But it freed him to leave Harrogate to meet me and move to Lancashire. Much better plan. And as I said in my Lent group a couple of weeks ago, I certainly never intended to marry a man who was allergic to cats. That was the sacrifice I talked about when we were on our sacrifice week. God's plans are often surprising, but God's plans are best. I wonder if you can see times when God's plans for you have worked out differently than what you'd planned for, perhaps better than yours. When you look back and you see what you thought was best, perhaps you're grateful God gave you his plan, not yours. Maybe you can think of particular times, particular situations. Maybe, though, you're still in the middle of some of that and you're still walking the journey where you've got your plan and God's plan has not yet come to fruition, and there's that time in between where we can have to deal with the uncertainty, which is unsettling, or perhaps even the disappointment, the grief of letting go of what we hoped for and choosing to take hold of what God has for us. That can feel like a wilderness, can't it? That in-between time when we can't see how it ends. We've not yet grasped what God has to give us in a particular situation. It can feel like God's not listening. Can feel like he doesn't care. Can feel like he's just not answering. That's a really important time to remember who God is. To remember how he loves us. How his plan is the best for us, even when it comes as a surprise. We talked in our group about journals again this week. I think David mentioned it in our Lent group. about how useful journals are at that time, as we can write down particular times God has worked within us and answered things and shown us a way through. And in those times of uncertainty, in the times of disappointment, in the times of grief, then we can look back and remember who he is and what he promises and how he's come through for us before. So the first thing about our surprising journey is that God's plans are often surprising, but far better than we could ever imagine. The second surprise is about a companion. Jesus' journey for our salvation involved being betrayed and abandoned by his closest friends. It involved being accused and convicted of things he'd not done. It involved having the cheering crowd turn into a mob shouting for his death. There was great physical pain, and even worse, spiritual pain. It doesn't read like a triumphant victory, yet it was all part of the greatest rescue act in all of history, better than any film that could ever be made. And here, on Palm Sunday, his surprising companion is a humble donkey, making a statement about who he was, why he had come. So Jesus comes and he defeats death and he provides the answer in the way that we need. But for us, it's not experienced fully. We're in between. We still have, as David said, desert struggles and resurrection joys and surprises, probably at the same time, often in the middle of both things. One of the things I love about being a Christian is that God doesn't give us a target to aim for and leave us to it. This is what you need to get to. I'll see you at the end. Doesn't say that. He's not stood at one point on just waving us, as cheering us as we go past, like if you're on a run. Do you know, he's not stood at one place and he cheers as we go past. He doesn't give us a great map and say, find your own way, I'll be waiting for you. He helps us to get there. The second surprise really is that Jesus made the journey to salvation for us, but then he makes it with us. He's made the way, and then he walks it again with us throughout our whole life. God himself, through his Holy Spirit, is our surprising companion. What a gift that is. What an amazing thing that we're not following a set of rules. We're walking a journey with God himself. From the Wilderness Notes, it says, journeying with Jesus means knowing that he's walked through the wilderness and understands how we feel. He says we can know that he's walking with us now. And we're going to sing about that in a few minutes. Journeying with Jesus means we can draw strength from him during our difficult times, recognizing that knowing when we need to ask for help is a strength, not a weakness. Jesus wants us to involve him, to let him help us. He's not sat back waiting for us to fail. He's not cheering us on from the sidelines. He wants to be actively involved, giving us what we need, his presence with us each step of the way. And journeying with Jesus knows means that we can know that he can even use our struggles to transform us, to shape us, and to reach out to others through us, through the very things that we have experienced. Jenny talked to that about a few weeks ago, about how her struggles as a young Christian have made her more compassionate and more willing to reach out now. Think about the man who founded CAP, Christians Against Poverty, who struggled tremendously with debt and has now set up one of their biggest sources of hope for people struggling with poverty. Can look round here and see people who've struggled with particular things, who've faced particular health issues or family situations, and see how God is using them to touch other people's lives, It's not always about setting up a big national ministry, is it? It's about our lives rubbing up against other people. I can look at parents here who have children with special needs and know how they have touched me because I know they understand what it's like. Can see people who've been through health things, who have given encouragement to other people to say, I've been there, I understand that, this is what I found helpful, this is how God helped me. Think how someone was telling me this week how they'd had a really difficult situation at work and other people had come in and told them what to do and it had not been helpful. But that's equipped them in the same situation to do it completely differently when they go to offer help to others. God uses our struggles, our difficult times, the things that we've wrestled with. And amazingly, he uses those powerfully to reach out to others. As part of journeying with Jesus, knowing that he transforms us and others through those situations. So the second surprise is that God chooses to be part of our journey. What an amazing, fabulous gift of a surprise that is. We're not following rules. We're walking with God himself. That's the second surprise. Now, the third thing I have to say doesn't actually come from the notes. David did say to me, i.e. following the notes this week, and I said, well, I'm kind of following some of it, and then I've added something else in. For those who know me fairly well, this won't surprise you. The final point is about a surprising inspiration. Jesus deliberately chose to travel on a donkey to make his grand entrance, to fulfill the scripture, to show people who he really was. And at least I have to say the donkey is mentioned in Palm Sunday readings, unlike the Christmas stories where obviously the donkey was part of it, but it's not actually mentioned. In our Christian journey, and especially in the wilderness times, we need help and support. We're not supposed to do it on our own. We're supposed to have help and support. What can help us on our journey? To be more donkey. That's what can help us. So I get the magazine from the Donkey Sanctuary every few months. Fabulous reading. And I've had this piece of paper that I ripped out of one of the magazines. I have had this for months. And I knew I couldn't throw it away. And I knew at some point it would be needed in a sermon. And here it is. So no, this is not officially from the Walking in the Wilderness. This is from the Donkey Sanctuary. It says, Reasons to be more donkey. So, it doesn't involve making lots of donkey noises. It says, our inspiration, our help as we're travelling on our journeys through life. Reason number one to be more donkey is that donkeys come in all shapes and sizes. There are 186 breeds of donkey, from tiny ones that are 31 inches, I measured it this morning, that's about there, to really tall ones that are 63 inches, which are about there. So there's a real mixture of sizes, different coat types, different colours, individual personalities. We grow and thrive when we can accept that God made us to be individuals. We don't have to be like anybody else, and we shouldn't expect other people to be like us. I was listening recently to Desert Island Discs, and Nick Webben was on, the chair of the British Paralympic Association. His choice, he picked his eight, and then the one he would say that was the absolute favourite one was, this is who I am, from The Greatest Showman. And he said, I would pick that one to rescue because it's taken me a long time, he said, to accept who I am and what I can do and the way that I am now. Taken him a long time to accept himself. So surprising inspiration number one, walking on our journey with God, is to accept that we're different. We are all different and we should all be different, and that's okay. Surprising inspiration two says that donkeys are loyal to their herd and to their individual friends within the herd. They offer each other support and comfort and companionship. That's nice, isn't it? You're picturing out your donkeys kind of walking around together in the field. To me, that sounds very much like the role of the church in our lives. A place to support others and be supported. A place to give and a place to receive. A place to belong to. A place to be committed to growing. A place that we want to bring others into to experience what we find here. That's inspiration number two. Be loyal. Recognise your herd. Support and encourage each other in the herd. Reason to be more donkey number three is that donkeys coexist with their environment. It says looking after what's around them so it continues to feed them. The way they live helps others. The example in the notes was wild donkeys use their hooves to dig in the dirt to get to the groundwater. And because they do it in the way they do it with their hooves, it leaves like little pools, and it means that smaller animals can then have access to the water. So they're not just helping themselves, they're looking after their environment, they're helping others around them. We're called to live in this world, to bless it, to look out, particularly for those who need our help, to speak up and act for the weakest and the most vulnerable. It's not just helping ourselves. It's about looking around, seeing how we live and how that can help other people. And the final reason to be more donkey and to that helps us on our journey is it says donkeys live in the moment. They tune into what's happening now, especially the feelings of those around them. It says they offer support and unconditional love, and it's proven scientific, medical, actual, proper fact that being in the company of donkeys regulates the human heartbeat. Isn't that awesome? Next time you see them in a field, you'll be stopping, you'll be getting them over, you'll be trying to stroke them because that will regulate your heartbeat. Not just the pleasure that it gives you, but it's actually medically looking after you. Just bear that in mind. So it's about living in the moment. It's a challenge for us, isn't it, to focus on the right things when we're being bombarded all around, not to be distracted or not to be so intent on getting through our list of things that we want to do that we miss out on the people, the situation God puts us in our path. It's a bit of fun in a way, isn't it, really? But aren't they also really important things as we journey through life, as we live in this world, as we follow what God puts in front of us, to accept ourselves, to support our herd, to look out for what's going on around there, and to focus on the now. Aren't they things that help us as we walk through life? So how are you doing on your journey? What situations do you, and what help do you need from your herd at the moment? How are you and how can you support other people in your herd? Because of your own experiences, because of insight, because of things God gives you to pass on. And how do you need to be more donkey this week? I'll leave you with that thought to rattle around in your brain. A few years after we first watched Double Jeopardy, we watched it again as a family at home. We had a lot of merriment at the beginning, as you can imagine, about the radiator incident, as it was known. And a big warning when we were coming up to the scene for the second time. But guess what? My sister still managed to spill her drink. We told her it was coming. She knew it was coming. But she still managed to spill her drink. As we start another Holy Week, preparing for another Easter, I pray that even though we've done this journey before, we will still be amazed and surprised and in awe of what God chose to do for each one of us, that his plan will still surprise us by its boldness and amazingness. I pray as we start this Holy Week again that the lengths God went to for us, for each of us, will give us hope and confidence as we face our struggles and walk the path that he lays out in front of us with Jesus as our companion in it all. And I pray that we can be more donkey that our experiences of God will spill over into the lives of those around us who need to know about God's love for themselves. Amen. So we're going to sing. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We start by thanking you for being faithful. For being God who makes and keeps promises. For being God who stands by your word. For being God who doesn't change. For being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, as the world and our lives feel so uncertain, we thank you that we can be certain that you are the same, that we can trust you, that we can rely on you, that we can believe you. Lord, we thank you for the times we've had and seen you answer our prayers. For those situations we can remember where you've given us hope and courage and healing. Where you've given us insight. Father, we pray that you can help us to remember those. Pray that they won't get lost in the depths of our mind, just become part of history. But we pray that we can remember how you have been at work in our lives. It may be yesterday, it may be last week, it may have been 10 years ago. But Father, thank you for those times. And we pray that those experiences of you will give us hope now. Give us hope in our own lives, in our own tricky situations, our dilemmas, our choices, our fears. We pray, Lord, as well, that it will give us something to give away. Something that will spill out into other people's lives, for those around us who need hope and healing and peace and love and courage. Pray, Lord, that you will use us to bring those things into the lives of people around us. Lord, the song said, every step we are breathing in your grace. We breathe in your grace for the people we have in our hearts. We breathe in your grace as we think about the situations in our world where there's injustice and war and famine. We breathe in your grace as we pray for those we love who don't know you yet. We breathe in all that you have to give them. And then, Lord, we breathe out your praise. Praise for miracles. Praise for love. Praise for forgiveness. Praise for a path through the wilderness. Praise for changed hearts, transformed lives, for mended people. And Father, as we live our life in our work, in our families, with our neighbours and friends, we pray that we can keep breathing you in so we can breathe you out. That we can take in what we need from you and share it with those around us. Thank you, Lord, that you give us, that it's not up to us to solve things for people, simply to pass on what you give to us. And finally, Lord, we just remember that your promise is that we never walk alone, that you never leave us on our own. Help us to take that seriously, to have it as a truth loud in our minds, and for that to change how we live and face difficult times. Thank you, Lord God, that you are faithful. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.